Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the main event. You're here with me, Daniel.
And Aaron.
And Aaron, we're going to have a bit of a quick fire round this week, I think. So we normally split these podcasts into two, but with it being match day four, we kind of thought it would just be a waste of everyone's time with the fact that it's the same pictures as last week, but reverse. We've also been watching for 3 weeks. I think people kind of know where they need to go, what they need to do. So what we're going to do is go through some injuries. I mean, we don't have a great record with injuries on this podcast, largely because managers lie. They're all sociopaths. So we tend to hear one bit of information.
It's a disgrace.
It's an embarrassment how this is the Champions League. It is the best league.
This is the best podcast. And we do not have the injuries. It's a disgrace.
And I'd like to know in what way it is a disgrace, but in all ways it's a disgrace. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 ways it's a disgrace. Awful. So we're going to lie to you throughout this podcast. We might go through, some picks. We might not. It's a disgrace. So that's the way that we're rolling. First of all, Aaron, quick stop at how last week went. You had a good week. Did you have a good week? Did you not have a good week?
I wildcarded, and I got similar points to you. So that describes how it went. So, my match day 3, the Strikers, did great.
Oh, that's good.
I got 61 points in the end.
Yeah, anyone near me? Well done.
I don't know what you got.
Disgrace, Aaron. It's a goddamn disgrace. Best podcast. You'll be more than points.
I got 61 points with 2 of my defenders getting 0.
That's
so 9. I got 9 players with 61 points. So, my Strikers, Kane, Captain, Haaland, 10, Jimenez. We said it on this podcast.
We've said every name on this podcast, in all fairness.
My midfielders, Gordon, Bellingham, Sane, and Galeno. My defenders, or should I say defender, Cancelo got 3. I had Henricks and Azpilicueta who got 0. And Blaswich got 2.
I had an unmitigated disaster. My team was a shambles before it even began. I had 3 injuries, which I was happy to take a hit for. I'd told everyone I'm happy to take a hit for that injury. However, early team news, DeMarco and Thuram out, which meant I was 5 players down. I thought, bollocks to that. I'll limitless wild card. Now, I actually think just keeping that team with the 5 injuries would have done better. So, in terms of, I brought in Jan Oblak as my Wednesday keeper for 1 point.
That's limitless, though, I guess. It's
not against Celtic.
Burahashi, what a troll.
What a troll. My decision of the week was a limitless wild card to take out David Brown and put in Henricks, which I think was a 13-point swing. Brown got a goal, an assist, and played out of the match. Henricks conceded and got a yellow card and only got 2 ball recoveries for 0 points.
It wasn't that he conceded, he got subbed in the 59th minute.
Oh, was that it? Sorry.
It was 59 minutes and 50 seconds.
Oh, that
is. And the ball that went out to cause the substitution was one of the worst passes I have ever seen. It's a great and special.
Who passed it?
So he tried to pass it back to the keeper. It was on the other team.
Yeah.
Went for a corner and they went, you know what? Leipzig. Leipzig tried to pass it back to the keeper, gave away a corner, and they were like, let's make some defensive subs. Off comes Henricks. Yeah, it was terrible. It was sabotage.
It was awful, truly awful. João Cancelo, 3 points. Brought in Di Lorenzo for 8 points, which was good. Galeno, Porto scored 4 goals. And the git did nothing. Leroy Sané, 4 points, miraculously. Broughton Kvaratskhelia for 9, which wasn't bad. Bellingham 7. Harry Kane's 9. Captain Dependa, again, 3 goals against Slovan Zvezda, and he wasn't on it. But he got a brace in the game before, and I think he scored 2 braces since. It's so painful. And then I was thinking, well, I was doing something on the day of the... I think I was at work and we had our quarterly business reviews. I didn't really have much time. So I was actually messaging Ed saying, can you do us a favour, lads, to him and Lewis, will you send me through like a limitless wildcard team or something? And that team had Morata in, and I thought, that's such a good shout. But I'm on limitless. And Lord Griezmann, who missed his pen and then put in the rebound for a whopping 2 points. So Griezmann got 4. So I finished off on 52 points, which is my worst of the season so far. Red arrows galore. I'm down to 307,000 in the world. Put me down. Do not listen to any of my advice. And that is why this, the world's greatest Champions League podcast, is a disgrace.
It says I got a red arrow, but I'm still rounding about the 150k. So
tough this year. This is the hardest it's been. This is like the first time I've thought, you know what, I'm not going to get top 1%. Quite comfortably, I don't think that's happening. I'll be lucky if I finish top 10%.
I think the thing that's going to work, hopefully in my favour, is that I've got limitless still.
Oh, look at you.
But it seems to be a cursed chip with everyone else.
Everyone's, has been a cursed chip.
The people who have played it so far had the disaster of match day 2 or the unpredictable of match day 3. So, I don't know.
Let's get on to match day 4, Aaron. We're going to sort of go through the groups. We're not going to go through game by game or anything like that, I don't think.
No.
We'll start with group A.
Well, we kick off. So it starts with group F. Again, I think this group, we know how unpredictable it is now. That all the teams are still in and with a chance of qualifying. It's not over yet, but I guess ahead of Paris Saint-Germain, Milan, Dortmund, Newcastle, you were at the match. Do you want to give us a little bit of a...
It was like one of the worst Wednesday nights of my life, mate. Like, obviously, that atmosphere was terrible. And
I've heard that from a lot of people, actually.
And then the David Raum, the Raum fiasco, compounding.
The German teams just ruining it.
Ruining my Wednesday night, my lovely Wednesday night. Yeah, it was...
I heard it wasn't necessarily that the atmosphere was bad. I just heard the Dortmund fans were amazing.
It was fairly bad. Like, it was the normal...
In comparison to Paris Saint-Germain.
Oh, it was, yeah, chalk and cheese. But...
Why do you think?
A couple of things. The Dortmund fans and their bloody drum were really good. And every time I went to start, like, even to try sing a song, I was in time with that bloody drum. And even when I was... Normally, like, just to get yourself going, you'll just clap, don't you? Just like whatever it might be. Just you get yourself going, then you might sing a song. And I was clapping in time with their drum, which just made it sound like they had one extra fan. It's like, bastards. So that was an issue. I think that obviously the highs of Paris had left, and it was like, right, this is the second game.
I think everybody expected to walk through this game.
Expectation was massive. And I think Newcastle's fan base is a fairly reactive fan base in terms of what's going on the pitch anyway. Been a Newcastle fan all my life. I've been going to games since I was very little. I don't think it's ever been any different. It's just who we are. When we're good, we are great. When we are bad, we are terrible. And I think because not much was happening on the pitch, the weather was shocking. It was after work, so people, I think, had just finished work, maybe had a couple of pints, were probably tired. And yeah, I think we were a bit flat. I think the players were a bit flat. I think Dortmund did well to make us flat. I have questions, so I will answer actually some actual fantasy related questions here. People have asked us, were we bad, were Dortmund good, from like perspective? So I was in the Leeds end. So for people that don't know, that's the end behind the goal. If you're watching the telly and you're watching Newcastle on the telly, it's the goal on the left-hand side. So what I've noticed was that without Sven Botman, Newcastle really struggled to play the ball centrally through the lines, which is where the pass often was, but wasn't being played because Lascelles isn't really quite capable of it. Fabian Schär wants to play those long balls. So everything was as normal as it has been, which is why Paris played the 4-2-4 formation, was to set traps for our fullbacks. But they then had to go balls back into the middle, and we couldn't progress through the middle. So everything was super slow at the back, made life really easy for Dortmund. I do think we're unlucky not to score. I think we've hit the post and the bar. So from that perspective, I think we are a little unlucky. However, I don't think we deserve to win the game at all. I thought Dortmund were excellent in the first half. Well, I thought they were good. I thought we were
I think it's the difference between doing your homework and not was the biggest difference between Dortmund and Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah.
I think the fact that we beat Paris Saint-Germain so convincingly, Dortmund, I mean, not that they wouldn't have done their homework anyways, but you could tell that they've studied how we play.
Yeah.
And the weather didn't help. The fact that it nullified, like, how slippery the pitch was, the ball, all of a sudden, it was either really slow, the pass, or it, like, skidded just too far of our player.
Yeah. Playing the long ball wasn't really a help. It was a hindrance. So, yeah, it was disappointing. The Newcastle, just for, as far as the Champions League podcast goes, Newcastle players, the ship sailed. If you want to go there, you go for the last game, Milan at home. You're not buying them for two away games to Dortmund and Paris Saint-Germain. You're just not. In Dortmund got absolutely battered 4-0 at the end of Bayern Munich. Again, like, they don't really have any, like, talismanic figures. So who do you go for? And we aren't a great away team by any measure. I don't expect us to win the game at all. I could see both teams scoring. I think it's probably going to be like a 1-1 draw, something like that. I think we'll be better maybe in this game. I think we'll play maybe even worse. But I just think they'll be more open because they're home fans. They can't play how they did at St. James' Park at home. That's not, can't be a thing. I think for this group, if you wanted to go somewhere, you got to go for the Paris Saint-Germain at home in Milan.
Yeah. So they've got back-to-back home games now against Milan and Newcastle.
Yeah, I think Mbappe is now a player that you can target. He didn't have a great game at the weekend. Paris Saint-Germain won 3-0.
But I think if you look historically, Mbappe, end of the group stage into the early knockouts, is where he picks up the majority of his points. So with the Haaland injury, potential injury, I think Mbappe becomes like a real legitimate option. Between him or Vinicius Jr., obviously.
Yeah.
Depends where you need to spread the funds. But I think Mbappe, just with his... Because he has already scored at home in the Champions League. He scored against Dortmund. And I think you can do that again against both of these teams.
Teo Hernandez and Pulisic missed the weekend, I think, didn't they? But
suspension.
It was a suspension. I was going to say they were fine for... They're going to be fine for this game. Just for those that know it's at the
worst. Yeah, straight reds.
Yeah.
For Teo, I don't know about Pulisic.
They lost 1-0 this weekend, didn't they, Milan?
Yes.
At home to someone.
I actually haven't seen the highlights for this. But people are now asking for Pioli to be sacked.
So we're asking last year, weren't they? Halfway through last season.
They're just not playing great. They're not scoring a ton of goals. The attack, as free-flowing as it could be with the... players that they've bought. To be honest, I think they're in a better position because they could have been stuck with Tonali.
Yeah.
So
imagine if they still had Tonali but didn't have Loftus-Cheek and Pulisic and all the players that they bought with that money.
Yeah, they would have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
So I think it's just taking the time to gel. Milan are at home. Apologies, it's at the San Siro.
Okay. I still think Mbappe is a good pick. Because I just don't think Milan are great.
Well, no, I mean, Udinese just beat them.
Yeah.
And a 10-man Napoli drew with them. Yeah. At the moment, I'm still with Gordon. I'm probably not going to sub him out. The fact that he's 5.5 and potentially going to be playing as a striker, I think.
Nah, I still think Callum Wilson will be played up front. But do you mean just for like the last 20 minutes or something like that?
Yeah, okay, that's fair. And it's a Tuesday punt.
Yeah, it's 5.5 million. That's fine. I think
I wouldn't
same I think as you, Newcastle players are a hold.
Yeah, I wouldn't transfer Gordon in. But at the moment, I would still see him as a hold. I think a lot of people have Newcastle defenders. I think that's the biggest question mark. I would look to get rid.
Yeah, if you don't have, I think the fight and hold if you don't have other fighters, which a lot of people do. Like, I am stuffed. My team is absolutely stuffed. Should we move on to the next early kickoff?
Yes, so that is Barcelona away to Shakhtar. But then also in their group, just loading it, it'll be Porto and Antwerp. So a lot of people, you have injury news on.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, well, I know that the early kickoff's Barcelona, so we'll start with that one. This could be, I just think this is a good opportunity to double up on Barcelona defence if you can. I think a lot of people may have Cancelo anyway. He played right wing at the weekend. The 1-1-0 Barcelona, I think, for 90
against Sociedad.
Against Sociedad. 94th minute winner, I think, from Araujo. But, I mean, that's actually a fantastic result against them. But I don't think Cancelo's going to be starting as a winger.
Because they played three at the back.
Yeah.
So he's a right wing back, which is arguably Cancelo's best position.
Yeah, that's true.
Koundé is back. He started and played the full 90.
And Rafinha's going to be back, I think.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is that I've seen some discussions about trying to get Lewandowski in if Haaland is injured, just in a few of our group chats. But I would recommend staying away.
Yeah.
But I think the defence is definitely a shout. And we'll get to see which defenders are actually starting and where, which is one of the reasons why I didn't double up with them in the last round.
Obviously, Shakhtar can be a good team at times.
They ruined the clean sheet in the last match.
Yeah, so... But I think with Koundé back, they're a better team. They're a better team.
And the fact that they're away from home, they will play more defensive.
Yeah.
So it encourages them to keep the clean sheet more.
Yeah.
So
Barcelona, I've got a tricky little centre mid option now as well, haven't they? 4.4 million. His name escapes me. I can never remember his name because they've got about three new 16-year-olds, haven't they, coming through. But he got a goal and an assist in the last game. I'm just going to find out his name because I can't remember. It comes with an F. He didn't have a great game at the weekend, but he did start. Lopez, I think he's... what's his first name? Because that's what's on the back of his top. Fermín López Marín. So I think it's Fermín that's on the back of his top. He got 17 points, I think, in the last game. 4.4 million. If you're looking to free up some space, I think he's a great pick in this game. And you'll have even more space. So I like that. And it might be something that I do because I've got three injured midfielders in Osimhen. And also, I've got two injured midfielders, Osimhen, and then DeMarco and Thuram, who probably aren't going to play. So I'm going hits galore this week, and I'm just sorting my team out. And I think he's going to be a transfer for me. In terms of
Porto and Antwerp, Porto at home, I think we need to address Galeno.
So Galeno's injured. Wendell Zaidu's out as well. That's two players. Not his name's not Wendell Zaidu. Wendell is one player. Zaidu is another player. But yeah, Galeno is the player that a lot of people have after his match day one heroics that he's not been able to emulate again since. Porto fans don't seem to really like him anyway. But he is just a firm sell now. Unfortunately, with Antwerp being great, I think Evan Nielsen, after his hat-trick, is going to be bought in by a lot of people. I think that ship sailed as well. They got beat 1-0. At the weekend, they're just too inconsistent for me. And yeah, Antwerp are absolutely dog. But I mean, Antwerp won 3-2 against Genk at the weekend. But I'd say Porto should still expect to win this game comfortably. But do you really want to bring in Evan Nielsen to then just play against Barcelona and Shakhtar? I don't know. No. Probably not.
And then in I think in terms of that group as well, like, I think it's going to be in the other groups that you're bringing the Tuesday players for. I don't think, I don't know, Porto could be a shout, but it is just a transfer in to transfer out. And because a lot of people would have played their chips, two transfers isn't a lot when it comes to the rotation that's going to happen in the next two matches.
Yeah, if you're on a wild card or making transfers, now's not a time to be going for 1 week punts or anything like that. You need to be picking players that you want for the next three game weeks. That'll just play. That's the thing. These players from now on, not from now on, but maybe from next week, will start getting rotated. Once teams have qualified, they're done in this competition.
Well, and that's the issue with the group of death, where at the start of match day one, you were like, I'm staying away. But now it's coming to the last three match days, you know that each of these teams are going to have to play their strongest 11.
Yeah.
So
Mbappe is just...
He's gonna start all the three matches, whereas Haaland potentially with his injury this week, and after that they've qualified. So that could be Haaland done for the group stage. To be fair,
maybe.
So that it's not great. But speaking of Man City, we'll go on to their group next. They're at home, Young Boys, and then obviously Red Star home to Leipzig. I guess we'll start with Man City. Because we're not going to cover Young Boys or Red Star Belgrade.
Well, Elia's a good player. Scored for the pod that I do with Lewis, I don't think it's been released yet. But we obviously, me and you were laughing on the way here about how when you listen to podcasts, go, oh, we mentioned that player, but we mentioned like 300 players. Lewis and I were talking about Man City, and I was saying, look, I probably need to bring in Haaland. Not now, because we'll record it before the weekend. So we'll record it before the game, and I'm pretty confident on that podcast, I said, I might look at Doku. And he's just got all his goals at the weekend, hasn't he?
One goal and has four assists.
Jack Grealish is 100% starting this game. Did he have four assists and a goal? Is that what he got?
Some of his assists weren't...
Well, one was a shot that deflected off someone else, but...
Still, though, I guess it counts in fantasy.
Yeah, points are points. I reckon, who knows, maybe the fourth one for Bernardo Silva might have been given as an individual goal on this game. But still, Man City, Diaz and Gvardiol didn't play, so I think they're pretty much nailed to start. If you've got them, you're good. I think you've got concerns if you've got Akanji, if you've got Ake, if you've got Stones, if you've got Walker, because which one of them... I think two of them are getting dropped. So which two are getting dropped? I mean, I think Lewis could play.
He's been playing a lot in the Champions League.
Yeah. So I think if you want a cheap way in, and I think if they qualify, Lewis will be good to play for the rest of the group.
The thing is as well, he's been playing in midfield for some of that as
well. Yeah, he played left wing the first game, didn't he?
Yeah, when Rodri was substituted off against Bournemouth, that's where Lewis played, was the defensive midfielder.
That's the concern though, isn't it? I think John Stones probably plays because I think him and Rodri got subbed off early.
Yeah, they did.
That's the concern. If they get subbed off, Man City can see goals.
Which they did,
yeah. I mean, that being said, Diaz, I think, is obviously an exceptional centre-back. I think Guardiola as well. So I think with them two playing, they've got a bit more of a chance compared to the back line that finished that game against Bournemouth. And Bournemouth could add another, I think, Solanke hit the bar. So if you were to go for some Man City players, which ones would you go for? Because it is a mint game for them.
I think Foden will play. I think Grealish will end up playing. I think... But I think Alvarez will be the starting striker, so could the potential free up the funds from just going Haaland to Alvarez potentially because he was subbed off.
Yeah.
Bernardo Silva was subbed off early, but I don't know if that's just because he's returning from...
Well, didn't he score like the 90th minute or 80th minute? I think he was subbed off, but I don't think it was early. I'm sure he scored the 6th.
Yeah, you're correct. 85th minute.
Yeah.
That's early, depending on how much stoppage time. But Oscar Bob. You got an assist, though.
Yeah. Oh, well, he played really well against... When Man City played against us in the League Cup, I think he was probably their best player.
But no, Man City, I think they're a team where I'm looking to avoid. I've only got Haaland in my team. I'm probably... Not smart decisions are made here, but I'm not going to bring in any Man City players. I think the rotation is too risky.
Yeah, if one of them starts this week, there's just no guarantee to start the next. And it's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare.
Because it's after this match day where they've got the run of fixtures, which we talked about in the last podcast, where they'll face the other teams around them. So, not great.
No. The other team in the group to look at, Leipzig, they got beat at the weekend as well, so that's not great for them. And they played really poorly. They got beat 2-0. Dani Olmo's out again, shoulder injury, so he's out until the new year. But Xavi Simons played really well in the last game. Obviously, Raum played really well in the last game. I've got Raum. Henriks is going to be the one to go off this week. So get Henriks in, not Raum. Raum's doing nothing. For anyone, especially.
I mean, I'll have Henriks because I can't transfer him out.
Append, I'll go off. Of course, he'll go off because I don't have him this week. I had him last week.
Watch your limitless team do unbelievable.
Oh, nice swore you there, Aaron. I nearly swore at you. It's a disgrace. This is a disgrace.
But I think that's it for that group.
It's meant to be the best Champions League fantasy team in the world, but here we are. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed, Aaron.
On to the last group. Obviously, Tuesday.
Let's do it.
We'll start with the absolute trolls that are Atletico Madrid.
Why not?
So they didn't keep a clean sheet. Azpilicueta did not start for my team, which... I looked back at the last few lineups and I was like, oh, Azpilicueta will definitely play. It's the one who didn't. They're probably more likely to keep a clean sheet at home, though. So if Azpilicueta plays, great. If not, it's a Tuesday transfer.
Yeah, that's a good thing. I've got Jimenez in my team. They can the lost 2-1 of the weekend, I think. Atletico. The rubbish. Morata scored again. So the only thing I could say is buy Morata. Seems to be the smart move. Buy Morata. I might buy Morata. He's just scoring goals. I still think he can score against Celtic when he's playing at home against them. I think Atletico Madrid were away this weekend. They're just not a good away team. I think the problem is that the next game might be away. But I just don't go anywhere near the defenders. I've got one and I hate my life.
Yeah, I wanted to have the double up against Celtic, but they're away to Feyenoord in match day 5.
Oh, Jimenez.
So, speaking of Feyenoord, they... played great against Lazio.
Yeah.
And Jimenez, the other Jimenez, could have scored a hat-trick. One goal was disallowed.
And rightly so.
It was, but it was a shame.
Rightly so. I was fuming when that went in and I didn't buy.
I was so happy.
Got disallowed. I was like, yes! Little did I know that was the least of my issues on that Wednesday night.
I think that even though the odds are pretty... even both of them, according to like all the betting odds and stuff like that, 35% both teams to win. So they don't know how to split it. Lazio still aren't great, but I think Feyenoord are just playing without fear. Lazio's last game at home, well, if you look at their last three games at home, they beat Torino 2-0, they then beat Atalanta 3-2, and then beat Fiorentina 1-0.
They're impressive results for Fiorentina and Atalanta, yeah? Mm-hmm. Got that right.
Yeah, but it's the fact that they've won the last
three at home. So they seem to be a decent home team.
And then they drew against Atletico Madrid 1-1 in the Champions League at home.
I was a bit lucky, let's be honest, to keep that score in 96 for the header.
Yeah, that's not going to happen very often. But I think it just shows that it is a more even match than what we saw. I'm still back in Jimenez, though, but he just looked great.
Yeah, if you've got him, I think he's great. So if you had the chance to bring in Morata, let's say you didn't have Jimenez, Morata or Jimenez this week, which one would you bring in? The same price, I think. 7.5? Yeah. Which one would you bring in? Morata against Celtic at home and then Feyenoord away, or Jimenez it away to Lazio and then at home to Atletico Madrid?
Yeah, I think Celtic are just such a worse team. So I'd probably go Morata.
But then it's for, like, you want it for 2 or 3 games, don't you?
Yeah. Let's have a look at how that group...
But then Jimenez will have Celtic, won't he?
Well, Feyenoord are currently top 6 points. Atletico Madrid 2nd with 5. Lazio 3rd with 4 points.
Tight.
So if Lazio beat Feyenoord, then Feyenoord all of a sudden are in 3rd place. That's provided that Atletico Madrid beat Celtic.
Yeah. You didn't answer my question.
I would go Morata.
You go Morata. Okay. Yeah. You've answered my question.
I'm sure I said that.
You did answer it, but this is a disgrace. So
that's all the Tuesday games. In terms of captaincy for Tuesday, who seems like Haaland isn't available, kind of opens it up, really. Could go punt. Punty captains on the Tuesday.
It is punty captain season. I mean, João Cancelo is screaming punty captain. Like, if we're going for the old adage of captain and fullback, let me just have a quick look at the matches all in front of me, just so I can see. I think
Morata's a shout.
Here we go. Mbappe, obviously. Morata is a shout with home to Celtic. And then
any Man City player,
Cancelo, and yeah, anymore. My goodness me, I've just had some news come through. Yeah, that no way. Real Madrid are playing right now. Mental, by the way. Quarter past. It'll be quarter past 9 over there, I think. And I think Jude Bellingham's just got injured.
No.
I can't cope with that, man. We'll have to see. We'll have to see. Right, we'll have to just see. He's receiving treatment on the pitch. He's gone down holding his shoulder. We'll see. We'll see. We'll keep you up to date on that one. Although you'll know anyway by the time this goes out. This isn't live. And it's not live. Let's move on to the last set of fixtures, mate.
Yes, so the early kickoffs on the Wednesday, Real Sociedad, Benfica, and obviously the other two teams in their group escapes me.
It's Inter.
Yeah, Salzburg, Inter.
Yeah.
So Sociedad playing really well, top of the table, 7 points, drawn with Inter, 7 points. This group could be over this week. If both Sociedad and Inter win, they're both on 10. Salzburg are on 3, so those can't catch them.
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen. I think Salzburg at home to Inter that are going to rotate their team. I don't think DeMarco and Thuram will play. Personally, I think Simeone is focusing on the league. I think he'll play Sanchez up front and that random kid on the left.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I wouldn't back any of these assets anymore because Sociedad Inter will be fully qualified past.
No, I don't think Inter will beat Salzburg. That's the thing. With a rotated team away to Salzburg, I think it'll be a draw.
But even then, it'll be.
Oh, would that
because then because then Inter would have 8 points. Salzburg would have 4.
Yeah.
Oh, so they could still.
It's still a 2-point swing there.
If either way,
if Simeone takes the piss against Sociedad again, like, so they can't count the chickens before the hatch, but he keeps on rotating, and I think if you've got Dumfries, you keep him. I think if you've got Sommer, you keep him. If you've got both, you might. If you've got nothing else to do, which I think would be an utter miracle if you haven't got any injuries this week, bin one of them off. I probably bin off Sommer and go for Real Sociedad's 4 million goalkeeper. Romero, is that his name? Is that his name? So I'd go for him for 4 million. I think he's a great pick. Benfica won at the weekend 2-0, but very at the minute. Like, they weren't doing anyone great. Oh, one thing actually, just to jump back, Jimenez missed a penalty this weekend, like, you know, for final, Mr. Penn. But yeah, Sociedad, I think they're an outstanding team. We knew that they were going to be really good coming into it. However, I didn't expect some of the other teams to be so bad. I thought Benfica would put up a bit more of a fight. And I thought Salzburg would be a bit better than what they were. And then Sociedad are a little bit better even than I thought. So I think Mendes, bring him in. I wouldn't be bothering with the Kubos and Baronetsias of the world. Maybe if you see Barcelona's youngster isn't playing, if the because we'll get that news, then Baronetsias 4.5 million, I think, for a midfielder. He's got 2 assists in a row. So, yeah, you could go for him if you're looking to really scrape the barrel for a budget. But I think Mendes is a player that I'm just biting the bullet on and getting in, man. He's annoying me. He's a Gonçalo Ramos regen. Not Gonçalo Ramos. Pedro Gonçalves, sorry.
Yeah, those were very different players, I was like.
Very, very different. No, Pedro Gonçalves regen. Sorry.
The disrespect.
The disrespect.
Respect. Respect. And then in terms of, they're just so unpredictable for the Wednesday fixtures. In terms of who they started in this last match, Dumfries played the full 90.
There was an injury to Pavard, wasn't there? So yeah. Darmian came on at right-sided centre-back. With the pen?
DeMarco got subbed early. Shock. Turan played the full 90.
Turan's not got a prayer in this game.
There goes his Champions League group, their dreams, despite in the first match scoring, even though it's disallowed, he scored the goal. Scored in the next game.
And Zaghi, man.
Just doesn't like him, apparently.
Simeone and Zaghi, what are you doing?
So, yeah, and then if you see Salzburg drawing, is it just kind of who their starting 11 was kind of on the last match and you just picking a few of them?
Yeah, I just think they'll do all right at home against Inter with that rotated. If Inter were playing full strength, I'd expect Inter to win. I think they've got to rotate. I don't think some of the players are up to it. And Inter are just grinding through games. They want I don't think they believe they can win the Champions League.
Yeah.
I think they believe they can win the Scudetto. So I think that's what he's going for. And they will get through this group. And then they'll just take a game at a time in the knockout. See maybe how far they can get a bit extra money, but they are mounting a title charge. And I think he looks at his team and goes, we have no chance. As soon as we play Man City or someone like that, just with the makeup of the team, like Mkhitaryan's fairly old. Tanloglu, I think, is a good player, but I think he struggles against top opposition. He's a bit of a flat track bully. Scored another penalty. And then the strikers, I just don't think good enough to, like,
to win. Lautaro's really good this year, though.
He's good in Serie A. Looks like he's never kicked a ball in the Champions League. He's a total troll. I can't believe you're about to defend him yet again.
Yeah.
He is, honestly, he's been brilliant in Serie A this season.
Yeah.
And yet, are you going to anywhere near him in the Champions League?
No.
Exactly.
So, the other early kickoff, Napoli, Union Berlin. I'm gutted. I went, so, for my wild card, I'm like, right, I'm going to triple on Inter defence. I went Bastoni, Sommer, and Dumfries.
Okay.
And I took out Di Lorenzo because Napoli just kept conceding. And so I was like, I'm going to punt.
This isn't you, Aaron. You don't punt. You're the most boring man alive. You don't punt.
I'm up there with James Milner.
Yes, you are. You make James Milner look like Ken Dodd.
My favourite ice cream is vanilla.
Yes.
It actually is. I wish
that's it. Oh, goodness me.
Just plain vanilla. So, yeah. Do I... With the Inter... Knowing that now, I think Bastoni or Dumfries to Di Lorenzo.
Yeah, come through.
Or a Barcelona defender, I think, is it?
My thought is to go DeMarco to Di Lorenzo. That's my thought.
Especially because Union Berlin, unfortunately, just aren't the team this year.
Copy 3-0 at the weekend again.
And they're just not good.
They are getting absolutely battered. I think we've got 6 points in the league. I was having a look, so follow FPL Austria on Twitter. He was saying, he put in the goal difference since August, I think, or September, whatever it was, in the losing 19-3 in the league.
Ouch.
It's...
They're just not... Yeah, they're just not the team this year. What they did last year was amazing. It's just not happening.
And I want them to do well. I like them as a team.
But Napoli at home, I think, will be too much for them. They kept the clean sheet. I think Di Lorenzo coming back in for another 6 to 8 points on the second day is a shout.
Raspadori, another goal at the weekend. I think it was said in the last podcast he could be a little shout. However, he's missed a five-point man if he scores and gets subbed off for 60 minutes every game. So I'm going to put him in the trap territory because I do think he'll score in this game. I think he's got 5 points written all over him, as he normally does.
What's his shirt number?
Raspadori's.
I'm just joking. If it was five, that would have been hilarious.
He's a striker. I don't think it's anything like five. But saying that, Jude Bellingham was playing up front for Real Madrid.
Oh, that was going to be my transition because Real Madrid are in the same group as that.
Oh, man. Genius. I've had word Bellingham is still playing, as you all already know anyway. You're better. He's still playing, mate. He's been fine. He's fine. Overreacting.
And we're not lying.
He was time wasting early doors. He's a disgrace. Tchoukameni is out. I don't know when he's back, but he's not playing this game. I don't think he's playing the next one.
Well, I took him out.
At long last, did you? It'd be funny if you wildcarded and didn't.
Yeah, I think you should have shot me if that happened.
I mean, I don't need that excuse to shoot you if that's something that you want. You are dipping your toes into defending Lautaro Martinez again.
I think it's because he's in my Serie A fantasy team.
I think you're the victim of an abusive relationship with him in terms of Champions League fantasy. Yeah. Is he doing well for Serie A? He must be doing well for Serie A fantasy.
He's a top point scorer.
Have you got Çalhanoğlu?
No.
Surely you shouldn't.
You're only allowed two players per team.
Ah, so you've got
in a defence and...
That's fair. Players per team, that's rubbish. What a rubbish game. Glad I don't play you now.
Vinicius Jr., I think, is someone who we have to mention, especially if you're downgrading Haaland. He's played... two in the Champions League and scored in both games. Obviously, that's not a really high ceiling, but can't really look past that if you are looking to...
Yeah, for the Haaland replacement, I think your premiums this week are Kane again, are Vinicius Jr. and...
Would you go Mbappe again?
And Mbappe. I think they're the three
premiums. Mbappe for longevity.
Yes.
Knowing that you've got Newcastle at home and then Dortmund.
Yeah. I think you'll have their right backs on toast as well at Milan. I just think he's just a really good player. Just a couple of things about Napoli again. Anguissa and Jesus both came back. I don't think they both played. I think Anguissa started. I think Jesus was on the bench and they had Ostergaard, is that his name? The centre back?
Mm-hmm.
So their defence looks better, which is why I think Di Lorenzo is a much better pick. And obviously, as we've already alluded to, Victor Osimhen is still out. But yeah, sorry, just wanted to drop that in. Back to Real Madrid. I think Jude Bellingham's a very safe captaincy option for match day two this week. For match day four, game night two. I think he's a very, very safe option. Just he seems to score. He did the same last year in the group stage. Yeah.
He scored every game for Dortmund.
First four? No, it was in all six.
Did he not get an assist, though, because it was double-digit points for the majority of the group stage.
I know he scored in the first
And then it was against games. Chelsea in the knockouts, or he just decided not to turn up.
Yeah.
I remember there was a dubious VAR decision that stopped him scoring against Chelsea, but still. Anyways, that's old news. I guess we'll see how the rest of the Braga match happens, and you already know, listening to this, how that went, but we'll keep each other updated, I guess.
Yes. Obviously, Bellingham scored two in El Clasico, and one of them was an absolute worldie.
He's such a good player.
He's unreal. How is he English? We don't have players like this.
He's going to switch allegiance. I don't know why. But anyways, deadline day transfer. We're just getting silly now. So out of the next group, Arsenal, Sevilla, and PSV. You were looking at bringing in the Arsenal players now.
I've got Odegaard.
Are you still looking to keep him?
No, he's injured. He's got done in his hip, hasn't he? I don't think Odegaard's going to be fit, personally. I'll have to keep an eye out on sociopath Arteta and see what he says. But he is a doubt. And Jesus is out with a hamstring injury. So Nketiah is probably going to play. Alex's price is legit. I think it's 6.4 million, I think. So he could be a really good budget striker.
They have two home games.
But they've got two home games. Saka is a much better home player than he is an away player in terms of fantasy points. So I would not be surprised to see Saka pick up points in these games. I wouldn't be surprised to see players like Trossard get starts, but I think Arteta needs to genuinely just play his strongest team for this game because he needs to get through. They've not had it all their own way in the group. And obviously with what happened at the weekend, he's done a really good job of deflecting Arsenal's terrible performance. They were rubbish. And he's deflected all that on one or three or four decisions in one moment. And I mean, he didn't even pay attention to Kai Havertz committing GBH on Sean Longstaff. So he's done a brilliant job at deflecting, but that deflection only works as far as this match. If they win this game, job well done to Arteta in terms of how he's thrown himself under the bus, really. And I mean, the statement, the referees are sort of hitting a bit of a joke when the referee was awful in that game. But the majority of the decisions went Arsenal's way. Obviously, yeah. There was the big one with a goal, and then there was one where Bruno's elbowed him. But I don't think that happens if he sends off Kai Havertz instead of booking three of our players.
Yeah.
So it's a bit... the referee was just bad for both teams. So I understand, but I don't think Arsenal as a club responded in the right way by writing. If you want to write a letter, write a letter. If you want to go speak to the refs or speak to Howard Webb, go do it. But by making it public, it's just little dick energy. In Arteta, I understand why he did everything that he did because all that anyone's talking about is him and not his shambles of a team. Odegaard clearly is so important. And the fact is, if he isn't playing in that game, You don't want any Arsenal players because he makes them tick quite clearly.
I think as well that this group is one of them where it's in danger of... I might do that at the end after we talk about the groups. I'll pause that thought, but Arsenal and one are on top. And depending on fixtures, this group could be tied up as well.
Yeah, I think it's going to be hard after this one. Yeah, you know what, you're right, because Arsenal are at home. Sevilla got...
And then they play... Sevilla, the thing is, though, that they play one in match day five, and then it's Sevilla, PSV against each other, and they both of them can't get 3 points, so they're going to take points off each other.
If they both get a win and then a draw, get 4 points.
It's not as sewn up as the last group, which we've got to talk about, which is Bayern Munich, Galatasaray, Man United, Copenhagen.
I will not talk about PSV long at all.
Do you have anything to add to that?
PSV won 6-0 at the weekend, but they were playing against 10 men, so take that into account. Luke De Jong scored another pen, didn't do anything else. They had quite a few decent little players. However, I don't think I'd be bringing them in, because although I think this is an okay fixture because they're at home, they're still playing against a really good team. And then, they're just not really impressed me that much. But I think Lom have a gem up front, to be honest. They've genuinely been the surprise, and it's not because of last season. I know that people have been saying, but they were really good last year. Yeah, but at the start of the season, they didn't play well, and it's because Openda went to Leipzig. So because of that, they then had to find a new striker. And in Wahi, I just think they've got a total gem. He's a 6.6 million forward, and he's got 20 points in the game. He blanked in the first one against Sevilla, but then 12 points against Arsenal, and he got 6 points against PSV last time out. So if you are looking for budgets, I mentioned Nketiah before, I think Wahi's your man to go to, selected by 1% of the game. So I did actually want to mention him. We mentioned him before, but in terms of a budget, if you didn't need to go that low, I think he's a great pick. And I'd rather have him than Luke De Jong, who I currently have.
That's fair.
Last group.
But if Bayern Munich win, they are the first team to qualify.
Yeah, that's a stress, because if they do win, does Tuchel play Harry Kane? Because they've got... is it Tell, the youngster? He's a good player, him. So if he's fit, then we might expect to see him play more games, or Harry Kane maybe comes up early. Harry Kane will still want to play, he still wants to score goals, still want to do all that crap. He doesn't really run around very much. Got another hat trick. He's got back to back league hat tricks.
15 goals in 10 games.
Oh, yeah, he's all right. He's a canny finisher. Yeah, they've also got players back from injury. Buying Gnabry's back, Goretzka's back, Upamecano's back, and Neuer is back. So that just makes them miles better. If anyone's wondering what that meant, it meant...
I think they are legitimate shouts to win the Champions League.
Yes, they are. With Neuer fit, they are. Without him, they haven't got a prayer.
But also with Tuchel's experience of winning it as well.
Yeah, I suppose.
It's still early doors. The Tuchel... The fallout hasn't happened yet.
The thing with Neuer is they aren't very good defensively, and they need him to save them. Any other goalkeepers just aren't good enough. They could do it if they had, like an Alisson or a Nick Pope, someone like that. I think if they had like a world class backup, which they don't have, then that's fine. Then they've got a better chance. But if with Neuer in goal, you must just settle them all down. Also, the way he plays, it means that they can play high up because he's the sweeper. So he can do all the things that other goalkeepers can't anyway. So yeah, it will be better. But moving forward, Sané probably will get less minutes, or because Gnabry needs to play him. You then have you're going to have Thomas Muller, who probably want some more game time. I think Muslera got injured.
Yeah, he got injured.
So maybe it's Muller just comes in. But I think Tell needs some game time. He's a really good striker. And if, I know I'm not a Champions League manager, but if I was, I'd be playing him instead of Harry Kane once they qualify.
Well, yeah, I think the thing is with Harry Kane is that whether he is injury prone or not, because there's debates on whether he's considered injury prone, you do need him for later in the season. You can't risk any silly injuries in a match where it's not important.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would agree with that. But if they do beat Galatasaray, then Manu would go, if they beat Copenhagen, which isn't guaranteed the way they're playing, Man United would have to overturn like a massive deficit in order to. But either way, Bayern Munich would have qualified. So it doesn't matter. Yeah. Bayern Munich would just then need 1 point to guarantee top spot, which is a dangerous position.
Yeah, I think that's probably maybe match day five.
Because then Bayern Munich have Copenhagen and match day five. Because they play Man United.
Might be the last run you get at them. If Tuchel's like, I want the wins.
Yeah.
And then match day six, you've just got to get Riz.
So, but I think they're the first legitimate team that you're like, your time's coming to an end with them.
The last fixture, save the best for last, Man United versus Copenhagen. Well, thanks everyone for joining us. Aaron, it was nice to use the studio again. Do you know what your plans are for the upcoming game week?
Looking to do the two transfers, Haaland down to potentially Vinicius Jr. And then that could mean I get rid of an Inter defender. Probably Dumfries. Because or I could go with that 0.5. I could go Aspilicueta up to like a Barcelona starting defender. But
probably going to be taking like a minus 12. So I don't...
I need Lino out as well, so...
I think I've said who I need to take out and players I'm thinking of bringing in. But nothing's guaranteed. I think I've tried to say that throughout the podcast. Thank you genuinely so much for joining us. As always, please don't forget to give Gallagher Shots a subscribe on YouTube. Please don't forget to give us a little subscribe on YouTube as well. We are on Twitter at UCL Fantasy Pod, so feel free to follow us there. You can get us on all of the other places that you can get Spotify's. If you get podcasts from, including Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, all those good places. If you didn't want to look at our ugly mugs, we'll respect that. We do respect that. Best of luck, everyone. Hopefully it's better than our game week last week. Best of luck to you as well, mate.
Thank you.
And we will see you again for the next one. Bye now.